fighting for America.
Whether liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, white, black, brown, rich, poor, when it comes to our troops, we stand united. We are proud of you. We support you. And we can never thank you enough.
Fighting for Idaho.
Most of the freshmen that I've met are, yes, they're conservative members of Congress, but not the extreme conservative. Man, I can live with that because that's where I feel like I'm coming from.
Fighting for you.
I don't think marijuana should be treated any different than beer. I mean, you could outlaw obesity.
Hey, 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 hey.
Boise's Mr. Right.
A little too close to home, buddy.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And coming up, we'll continue our discussion on, well, that Bora High School student that decided to teach the state school superintendent a lesson. From what I understand, the young lady's mother is calling in, and she already talked to Rhea Maya, so we'll talk to her coming up. As we continue to cover the issues that matter to you, don't forget our Christmas party will be Tuesday here at the Broadcast Center, and not one person has RSVP'd, so it might just be Dave Burnett, Ray Amai, and myself, and we won't have any goodies, so I guess we've been naughty this year. Joining us now, our great friend Dave Bigo, President and CEO of Executive Management Services, author of The Devil at My Doorstep, Protecting Employee Rights, The Devil at Our Doorstep, Exposing the Real Agenda of Big Labor, The Taking of American Freedoms, joining us from Naptown, USA, Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's a big city y'all got there.
Oh, it is, and it feels like Naptown this morning. It's cold and cloudy here, and I think we all want to take a nap.
Let's talk about the state of American business today. Have we lost our competitive edge?
I think there's no doubt that we have, and, we own several businesses. Our biggest business is a commercial cleaning company that I started here in Indianapolis in 1989, but we're also in manufacturing supplies and chemicals and stuff like that. And, we just, with this administration and where they're headed and taking us, we just aren't as competitive as we used to be.
Well, we take a look at labor. You know, you take a look at the part of the country you're from, pretty much there, Michigan, Ohio, the home really of the labor movement, sticking up for the common man. Does labor stick up for the common man anymore?
No, Kevin, they do not at all. And that's I talk about that in my books, because the SEIU tried to force unionize my employees across the Midwest. They tried to do all the major cleaning companies, which we're one of, and they wanted us to sign a neutrality agreement, which would take away the secret ballot election and go to card check. And we were the only major company that told them no, that that's un-American, we're not going to do that. And we beat them. It took a four-year battle, but we won. And, we went out and talked to our people and, was honest with them what was going on. And our people got it. And the problem is that as I've gone through this battle, and we've also battled the United Auto Workers, too, by the way, what we found out is that they don't care about the employees at all, the membership in their unions. It's all about the membership dues for their own pockets and for their political agenda, which doesn't serve the American way and American jobs and American business.
Well, you've become quite the expert when it comes to dealing with organized labor. One of the things that has amazed me is labor's pass on the immigration issue. In fact, I believe they've become pro-amnesty. When you think about it's going to cost American jobs and such, never mind the Republicans and the Democrats, but organized labor, this could really revitalize the American labor movement, but they've decided to drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, they have, and a lot of people don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. And this president, who will run over anybody, friend or foe, to achieve his agenda and do the things he wants to do, he's behind the scenes. He's working with his radical people in the National Labor Relations Board to basically pass card check through regulation versus, legislation. And they took a big step on Friday. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the NLRB passed a ruling on ambush elections. Normal elections are 41 to 42 days once they've applied for the election or petitioned for it. This new law brings it down to 21 days or less, and a lot of people are looking at the way it's worded that it could be within 10 days, and that means basically no employer would have a chance to get in front of its people and to battle the election. They could do this overnight and force unionized people across the country. It's almost like a card check deal, and that's what the ultimate goal is.
So it's a backdoor to card check.
Yeah, and it's really a scary thing because, plus, to facilitate this, the NLRB also passed a law that the union and employees can use the employer's internet services and email to, you know, talk to the employees and send information to them and even badmouth companies.
On their own system.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, Kevin, it's crazy where this is going, and America needs to wake up quickly because, and I think we're going to see some more rulings before the end of the year that get us closer to, as a good term, backdoor card check. And so this is what he's doing for them. So they're in turn buying into the amnesty thing. Plus, what he's doing, if you think about it, he's saying these people can go get jobs. They become legal employees instead of independent contractors or being paid under the table. So eventually the union can organize these people.
Yeah, it's amazing. What's it like for you, sir, today? What's it like for you, Dave, to own and run a business? And would you do it all over again, considering the way the rules have been changed?
Oh, I would, because I'm that type of person, and you know, I'm a battler, and it's really frustrating because, you know, you're fighting both ends of the stick, so to speak. You know, on the one end, we fought the unions at, you know, high labor cost and low productivity and all the stuff that goes with that. And on the other end, now we're fighting low cost and high productivity because we have competitors out there that are hiring these people, undocumented workers, paying them what we call piecework under the table, so they're not paying payroll taxes, there's no benefits, and they expect these people to work, you know, whether it takes them 40 hours or 80 hours to get the work done, they expect them to get it done. And they come in and they underbid people like us by, you know, 20-30%.
Yeah, you see, that's what a lot of folks perhaps out here in the West don't understand, but you see it in the Midwest now and certainly in the South, whether it's what you all are doing as far as cleaning, what people are doing as far as the labor movement, as far as building houses. You have people coming in undercutting because they don't pay the benefits, they don't pay anything else, and they're literally driving American business out of business.
Well, they are, and they're destroying wages for the American worker, and they're eliminating jobs for the American worker. I've got a friend that's in the construction industry. He does commercial buildings and that, but he's banging his head against the wall because of the same thing. He's got competitors that are using these undocumented people and, like I say, paying them piecework. And, you know, you can't compete when you're a legitimate company doing things the right way.
So what type of world are we leaving the next generation?
Well, it's scary, Kevin. I mean, we got to get this thing turned around. And, you know, with this election, it's great that we have, you know, the Senate back. But we need some leaders in Washington that are willing to take a stand and go on the offensive and to go after this president and this administration and start turning this country around. And, you know, I'm constantly in front of people talking to them about that because one thing I learned in fighting the SEIU was that you can't play defense with these people. You got to go on the offense and you got to put them on defense, kind of like sports. You know, the best defense is a great offense. And once we started doing that with the SEIU, we started turning things around, and we found out that they really didn't want to face us publicly. They didn't want to debate us or anything like that. And I think if the Republicans did the same thing, they would start to have the upper hand where this country's going, and in the polls, too, because a lot of people, even Hispanic people and black people, want to see these things happen.
Right. Dave Bigo with us as we continue on talking about his company, Executive Management Services. By the way, again, his book, The Devil at My Doorstep, Protecting Employee Rights, and The Devil at Our Doorstep, Exposing the Real Agenda of Big Labor, The Taking of American Freedoms. What was it like for you, though, to start a company? You had two small accounts in Indianapolis. To grow it to a national company, you've got 5,000 employees. 3,000 facilities that you work on in 36 states from coast to coast. You're living the American dream.
Well, I am, and that's the great thing about America is that, you know, through hard work and perseverance and insight that you can do something special. And I'll be honest with you, I never thought we'd be as big as we are. But we did things the right way, and, you know, we continue, and we're one of the most highly certified companies in the industry, in the country. And, you know, that's held us in good stead, and I think it's a perfect example for other people to follow. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying America provides you this opportunity. But then you have people like the labor bosses and this administration, who I talk about in my book, by the way, because the SEIU, President Andy Stern, was very, very good buddies with the current President Obama. And, you know, they both came after us. And, you know, it's sad when you have your government and labor bosses that are trying to destroy the American dream. Thank God our republic and the laws of it were good enough that we were able to use them to win the battle.
Indeed. For people that are thinking about the future of their kids and their grandkids, we touched on this a moment ago at 580KIDO. What do you say? What is really at stake here? And this is from someone, Dave, you could just sit back and enjoy your run and not get in this fight, but you're fighting for the future.
Well, I am, because I'm concerned about America. I love America. And, you know, I love our Christian values, and we need to bring that back. And I'm concerned about my kids and grandkids. And we're a family business. My daughter and my two sons work in the business. And we have a lot of other family members. And we want to see them have the same opportunity in the future that I had as I grew up and started this business.
Who do you consider our friends in Congress?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I take a step back from Congress, and I know several people from Indiana that, in fact, I had a meeting with a congressman last week, and I'm working with them. But some of the governors is the ones we'd really need to look at, and I don't know how familiar you are with Governor Walker out of Wisconsin, but I'll tell you what, he is a good man. I've met him. I've spoke to him about these things. I've heard him speak, and Kevin, he does things that I think politicians need to do. He doesn't just get up and say things from a piece of paper. He goes out in people's neighborhoods, and he talks to them, you know, whether they're black, white, Hispanic. He goes into different religious areas, you know, churches. He even went into the union neighborhoods. And these people look at him and say, you know, this guy makes sense. We like him. And we need more politicians who will do that kind of stuff, because that's one of the things I did fighting the SEIU. I went to all of the buildings that were under attack and sat down with my employees at night and told them, you know, I want to talk to you about the reality of what's going on here. And these people are smart people. And when you talk to them, they go, yeah, we get it. And that was another way we beat the SEIU.
Well, Dave, we appreciate it. If people want to get a hold of you or get your book, what can they do?
They can go to my website, thedevilatourdoorstep.com, and read my blogs, get my book, and there's also an email address in there where they can contact me.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for the great things you do out there, and because we need to preserve America.
See you, Dave.
Okay.
All right, 818, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Time for traffic.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Look, it was the kid's idea. I think it's a great idea. That's, you know, good for her to write that in the school newspaper and have that idea and go for it. And I love that part. But then it wasn't her idea. It was her mother's idea.
There we have it. Our friend China Gum talking about the big story involving a student at Bora High School, the state school superintendent-elect. Joining us now to talk about the issue, Heidi Soto, whose daughter is the publisher or is the editor of the paper there. Heidi, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Boy, you've got everybody
I guess
rolling.
So. Well, I just want to tell you that I listen to you every morning driving into work. And so I know all your regulars and all that. So I was pretty surprised when I started hearing about Harmony this morning.
Hey, look, you made the TV, you made the newspaper, you made Kevin Miller.
Yes, I know. I've thought about calling in before, and I didn't think it'd be this way, but I just wanted to really just set this record straight about whose idea this was. I'm very engaged with my kids in their school, and, you know, I even heard on your show once that you don't just ask the kids how was their day. You ask them specifics, and, you know, I think it was one of the schools you were at, they were talking about that. Anyway, so I do ask her specifics, and it was a very passing comment that I made to her. And she had wanted to write something about the school election. She was kind of shocked that Ibarra got in. She didn't understand how or why, and I just in passing said, well, you know, you can always plagiarize an article, and that was it. She took the rest on her own. She made it hers. We didn't contact newspapers. She had picked out one article she liked, and I did talk to George Prentice. It was one person, and I talked to him, and I told him what she wanted to do, and him and her worked out everything else from there. He talked to her school advisor. They handled everything. Every interview she's had, I have stepped out of the room because I don't want to influence her answers or look like, you know, I'm a stage mom or something like that. So she really did take this on her own, and it was a very passing comment. I think I was even cooking and just said, well, you can always plagiarize an article. She put that into action, though. So,
you know, you've got me speechless. You've got me speechless here, Heidi, because I don't know if this is a really valid point or a cheap shot.
Yeah, I heard you saying that. And, you know, the thing is,
I'm on the fence.
Yeah, people have talked about the delay. Part of the delay was it was her reaction to the result of the election. And then part of the delay, too, was they only publish a paper once a month, you know. So
I got to tell you, we had a great time at Bora. We were out in the hallway. It was at one of our best schools. And, you know, if you're going to, you know, be something, be a lion. But I'm sitting here floored away by this because I got to believe your daughter. Mm-hmm. Intentionally or unintentionally, probably has put more light to the issue than the professional journalists.
Well, maybe. That could be. As far as a cheap shot, you know, you're looking at a 17-year-old who loves writing, and she loves journalism. And, you know, she's at that idealistic age, and, you know, she's being taught about the standards, and she's, you know, she's a writer, too. And so the plagiarism issue hit home with her. I mean, it was just something that she went, wow, how can this be? So, you know, her age and the world she's in right now and what she's involved in, it meant a lot. So I don't know that, you know, she meant it as a cheap shot rather than, hey, you know.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that she meant it as a cheap shot. People might interpret it that way because anyone who would go to this trouble obviously is an idealist and a journalist in the truest sense of the word.
I
would think that she's proving point. It's refreshing, though, that you don't see this type of journalism anymore.
Well, that's true. And, you know, again, we hear on your radio station and other places, too, you got to do something. You know, you got to speak up. You got to stand up. And, you know, that's what she was doing. You know, she's trying to say this. I don't think this is right, and I don't think people should just get a pass on it.
Well, do you buy the argument in the paper that the accusation was a result of boilerplate language on the contact page?
You know, it could be. That very well could be. But when you are in charge of the school system for the state, you need to be a little more on top of things. So, you know, this was a campaign, and her main website. You know, you need to be aware of what's going on and what you're responsible for. So is she going to be able to do the same for the state? You know, people do make mistakes, yes. But at the same time, where's the accountability?
She won the election.
She absolutely did. And that's what I think stunned Harmony. I think she was just, you know, how there was a lot of other issues that Harmony was aware of. And I think she just was, you know, how did this happen? And, you know, if she had plagiarized something and put it off entirely as her own, didn't make any credits, didn't try to make a point, and just did this you know, plagiarized a paper in her American government class, so to speak, she would be held accountable for that. You know, she would have consequences. And I think that's part of her point.
That there's more consequences for the student than the elected officials.
Absolutely. And if you want to hold the students to a standard, you know, you need to hold yourself up to that standard too. And I understand she took responsibility for it, but I still, I hear excuses, and, you know, I think Harmy hears excuses too. She wouldn't get away with it. I know that much.
Do you think this issue will, and again, I'm asking you now, Heidi, to get into political analysis here, but heck, you've heard this program. Doesn't take much to do that here.
Yeah,
so,
I've heard it.
Well, you didn't have to agree with me. But anyway, you know, I'm thinking, that does this damage her credibility in your eyes?
Ibarra's?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. I think people...
Well, now, wait a minute. You just said that people should be held accountable. She took responsibility. And I'm thinking, well, to me, then you would say her credibility would be damaged.
Well, the thing is, she got elected.
Yeah.
So, you know, people already made their choice on her. I think Harmy's point is, hey, Ms. Ibarra, you may have, you know, had this gaffe, but just know the students are aware of what's going on, you know. Pull it together. As far as her credibility, we'll, you know, we'll see what she does. But people have made their decision, and, you know, she's who we have. And, you know, I hope it's a successful run for her, but,
well,
you know, it didn't start out well.
She's no Tom Luna.
There you go.
Fine.
You know, I got to say, on Tom, I had a conflict with him when he first got elected, and he called me directly to try to work it out. It was a conflict over a preschool at a school, you know, and I, you know, I appreciated that. So,
did
you
call Ms. Ibarra and try and talk to her?
No, I have not. And I didn't call Tom myself. I didn't contact him.
He
found
out about
that we had some issues, and he thought I was kind of the person that...
You were the ringleader.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but it was... We had some issues over a preschool shutting down, and but he did make it. You know, he made the attempt to try to talk, and you know, I can see that. You know, I appreciated that.
Heidi, before we let you go, how has Harmony reacted to all this attention?
You know, she's kind of an introvert, so she doesn't like being the center of attention for sure, but she does appreciate the conversations that are going on. And. And that she, I think she probably likes that her school newspaper has some, has been put in the limelight a little bit.
Well, she's off to a great career as a writer.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, she is. And we appreciate you giving us a call.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for listening.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. There we have it. Heidi Soto talking about her daughter, Harmony Soto. And, you know, this is a fascinating story that I'm like a sissy, I guess, like the people that brought out the movie The Internet, or The Interview on the Internet. Anyway, I'm just sitting here taking a look at this story, and here you have a student making a point. It's been on all the papers. We've been talking about it. Her mom just called in, calling out the state school superintendent for what happened during the campaign. And at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, is this appropriate for students to be teaching elected officials, educators? I'll just read you quickly. Editor's note, you may find parts of this article similar to previous articles written by George Prentice for the Boise Weekly. We could apologize and say that this is a mistake on the part of the Bora Senator staff, but our new state school superintendent was able to get away with it. Is it even worth it? To our state leadership, remember, the students of Idaho do pay attention to the examples you're setting. Relevant point or cheap shot. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You're listening to K Milley on 580-KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, coming up much more on the state school superintendent versus the student topic. Before that, Jared Halpern joined us from Fox News Radio to talk about Cuba. Jared, good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, talk about a shocker out of left field.
It certainly appeared that way. And then to find out that it's been something that's been done clandestinely since last year, since March of last year, these secret meetings between U.S. and Cuban delegations in both Canada and the Vatican. How about the Pope's role in all of this? Just a whole lot of moving parts that we learned about in sort of one fell swoop yesterday.
Yeah, it makes you, it's almost like something out of a novel, really.
I saw somebody suggest, you know, the movie's probably already being written.
Well, you know, it's funny.
I guess we'll find out if it's allowed to be seen.
Well, you know, I don't know if you're an Amazon Prime member, but it's funny. On the latest season of Alpha House, they have one of the senators urging the same thing, of course, that was fiction. And in it, no one thought that it could happen. So,
I mean, it's not a new issue. I mean, there have long been politicians, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle that have called for lifting the embargo. Ron Paul, when he was running for president, Congressman Ron Paul, notably, made that a big part of his platform. I have not yet seen, and I don't want, maybe I shouldn't say it at all, because he may have weighed in up to this point, but yesterday there was some hum made that Senator Rand Paul had not yet weighed in on the Cuba relations, given his father's previous stance on lifting the embargo and opening up a dialogue with Cuba.
What does this really mean for us in America, if anything?
You know, it's going to remain to be seen. Certainly right now it means a lot for Cuban Americans, people who still have family in Cuba. They're allowed to send more money to their relatives in Cuba. Travel is going to become easier to and from Cuba, not just for folks that have family over there, but potentially for anybody. There are still, even right now, you know, you can go to Cuba. There are journalism exchanges. There are cultural and artistic and other sorts of educational exchanges. So it's not as if Americans have been totally cut off from access to Cuba. Quite to the contrary. It's just difficult, and you sort of have to have a reason, and both sides have to agree to it. So we'll see how easier this travel back and forth becomes. If you do go to Cuba, because this question did come up, not surprisingly, you will be allowed to bring back Cuban cigars for personal use, up to $100 worth, Cuban rum as well, if that is something that interests you.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting the people saying, hey, it's time to do business there, and that you have the old folks that are saying this sends the wrong message.
It's interesting to see the breakdown, because as we've seen, not just on Capitol Hill, but, you know, throughout the country, divisions are not so much partisan, right? This isn't a Republican or Democratic divide. It's a constituency divide. It's a cultural divide. It's a personal experience divide. Evan Brown, our correspondent in Miami, spent all of yesterday in Little Havana, the community in Miami, and found that by and large, the older Cubans who left Cuba to the United States because of Castro's regime do not like this at all. They don't think the United States should be talking at all to Cuba while the Castros are still running the place. And then you see a little bit more openness, a little bit more willingness to engage with Cuba from the younger Cubans, those that have grown up in the United States, the second-generation Cubans. And you see that a little bit in politics as well, I think, with the speeches and remarks that we've seen from lawmakers.
Jared, we appreciate it. To be continued.
Sure thing.
All right. Jared Halpern joining us. Fox News Radio, if you're just tuning in, we were talking about the controversy in the newspaper, on the TV, and on the radio involving Harmony Soto. She's a senior editor of the paper at Bora High. She wrote an article that was plagiarized with permission from George Prentice of the Boise Weekly. We were talking about it. Heidi Soto, her mother, called in to give us her side of the story. And really, it goes down to something happened in the campaign. Now, a lot of our friends that work in the campaign industry are going to say, Kevin, it's time to move on from this. Mrs. Ibarra admitted the mistake. No harm, no foul. But, you know, it does send a message. And when you read what the student said in the newspaper, you know, is this education or is this a cheap shot to our state leadership? Remember, the students of Idaho do pay attention to the examples you're setting. And you had Heidi Soto say on this program that if her kid had done this, there'd be ramifications, but there weren't any because Mrs. Sabar did admit the mistake and an oversight, according to her spokeswoman, and she was elected. Elections matter. Lyle in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. This is kind of interesting because I can't say as I blame Yabarro, but I don't think she really handled it very well either. Before I could really attribute any blame to her, I'd have to know the answer to three questions. Who put up the website? More than likely, she hired it done. I doubt it very much if she did it herself. And whether there was any punitive action taken against the company or whoever it was that put it up. Say they were fired. We don't know who it is, so we really don't have any idea, you know, exactly what could have happened there. And did she know about it in advance? But I don't really think she handled it very well because she should have gone ahead and said, you know, whether it was hired, you know, and whether there was any punitive damage done on it, and get that out of the way. As far as the young lady at Bora High that wrote the paper, at the very least, she's disrespectful for not asking these type of questions and rather self-aggrandizing herself as she thinks she's going to be able to correct people without coming up with some facts or something on them. That's kind of where I stand on it.
Well, here's the question I want to answer. Cheap shot or relevant point?
By the student?
Yeah.
I think it's rather a cheap shot without trying to get some answers first as to what else happened. Yabarro stood up and said, yes, it was. You know, she acknowledged it was, but you don't know what happened afterwards. And you can call it a personal decision, you know, if you want to, but you don't have to publish names, but you should tell people, you know, what happened and stuff like that, I think, to really clear the air on it. Otherwise, there's always questions out there.
Right. You don't know if anybody was held accountable.
Right. It's something that needs to be done more often than not.
Lyle, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
We go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania, with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. You know, I keep asking myself a question. You know, us trying to normalize relations with Cuba, you know, how much of that, in fact, is meant to distance Cuba from the Russian influence in the Western Hemisphere? And I just have to imagine that, you know, with Russia over 2 years ago, you know, buddying up with China and, hey, we're going to go by the gold standard, we're going to get rid of the petrodollar, so forth and so on. You know, in fact, is that when we started our normalization process with Cuba? Don't know. Just interesting question. Thought I'd throw it out there. Are we trying to get Russia out of the Western Hemisphere? I don't know. How about that question?
I haven't thought of that. I just think it's a thin attempt by the president to try and pump up his credentials for his post-presidency resume.
Well, there's been a lot happening now that they lost the last election. I mean, you know, look what they did with the CIA. Hey, let's talk about torture. I mean, that was a deliberate attack on conservatives.
Oh, well, that was
in itself.
That was sour grapes.
That was real sour grapes.
It was.
So I just wonder, you know, obviously Russia, this thing with Russia, of course, the bear is not over. You know, remember, their economy is based very different than our economy. You know, they've been separating from the global money managers for a long time.
The bear is missing its fangs. Terry, thank you for the call.
You have a good one. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, sir. George in Star with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, George.
Hi, good morning, Kevin. Just a note, something that's perplexing me. You know, clearly there were some missteps, and Ms. Sabaro is missing some representation or, you know, guidance. But she, you know, like you said, she's come out and tried to rectify these things publicly. You know, there was a lot of bad, dirty politics being played on a lot of these lower races, but where's the acrimony about that? Yet they're so focused on her. I believe the people that were injured who didn't get their person in are just wanting to, I guess, I don't know, maybe they want to injure her to, or what do you call it? They compromise her so that she can't be effective. But there again, all this about Ibarra, and you had all this other bad politics going on in a lot of the other races. It's kind of perplexing. I'm not. What am I missing here?
It's a fascinating point. It's a fascinating point because you got to admit she's going to come in not with the full thrusters, if you will.
Yeah, and there again, if they compromise her by, you know, just making this into a big snowball. And you know what? These kids are totally influenced by. Look, I'm sorry, and there again, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but these kids, you know, they're not political creatures. They don't know enough. So who's manipulating them? Is it the teachers' union? Is it the someone's putting them up to this? You know what I mean? So very suspicious. You know, I think kids are super bright, but not politically bright. You know, politics. You know, you got to have your street savvy,
and we'll see where that plays out. George, I got to run. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. 580 KIDO. Good morning,
Dave Ramsey. Weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
It is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
8:58, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Quickly, let's go to quickly to Sheila from the Canyon County Tea Party. Sheila, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I was just thinking that we heard Ibarra speak at the Canyon County Central Committee meeting, and I had an email conversation going with her for a while, and she was using words like equity, which is progressive terminology. And I had a thought that it's possible that her website was similar to Joan's website because they think alike.
That's a good one, Sheila. Got to run. Hey, appreciate it. Insightful commentary, as always. Good day. God bless. And keep the faith.